Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're trying to give them as many opportunities as possible to slot in there, the at-bats he's going to get in the spring, see how he handles those things. Being a young man, you know, we're going to be able to, you know, hopefully manage him well in terms of his usage. And so we'll see how it continues to progress. And ultimately, you see a potential of a person who's probably a 3 or 4 hitter, absolutely.
Welcome back on in 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak here for another 58 minutes or so, maybe a little bit longer than that, because apparently Nick Shepkowski and Mark Grody are going to be on after me at 9 o'clock, and Shep has, I guess, roped me into doing transition. We did it, I think, last week, and I think that just set a precedent. So now I have to work another 15 to 20 minutes, for which I will not be compensated, but oh, it's going to be great. Phone number 312-644-6767, 67011 is how you send us a text message. And if you're trying to gaslight me saying that I said Taco Fall was 6'7", please stop that right now. Please stop trying to do that. I want to switch to baseball. Like I said, on the way in there, you heard the voice of White Sox skipper Ricky Renteria talking about Eloy Jimenez, who is now projected to be the starting left fielder on the 2019 Chicago White Sox when they open up the season this Thursday in beautiful Kansas City, Missouri. And, you know, it's good for the player, it's good for the team that they were able to reach this agreement, not only from the baseball aspect, but from a marketing and a perception aspect, which shouldn't be the most important thing. But I think it was a big part of this deal that they agreed to with Jimenez to get him, you know, straight out of camp on the major league roster for the beginning of the season. And Eli, you and I talked a little bit about this before or during the commercial break. It kind of feels like they had to do something like this because, of course, the White Sox are always going to be in the lower half of the league in attendance. They're always going to be the second team in the city. And that's coming from me, who's a huge White Sox fan. I mean, if you've ever heard me either on this show or on the station or on the Molly and Haw show weekdays, you know, some people like to call me a Cubs hater. I don't really put that label on myself, but I'm a big White Sox fan. But I'm also a realistic White Sox fan, and I know where they stand and where they're going to continue to be in the city. If they had progressed into this season without making any big free agent moves, with still stringently keeping Jimenez in the minor leagues for 2-3 weeks, whatever the data was, I think there would have been a chance that not only would they not even have sold out their home opener, I think immediately after that, you would have been seeing just nobody going to these games. And now you've got a draw in Jimenez because he's been so hyped and he's really not struggled too much. He did have a little bit of a rough spring this year, but you know, he admitted he was pressing a little bit, and there's, you know, it's just spring. There's not too much to be taken from that. This guy has absolutely crushed every level of the minor leagues, and I think, honestly, it makes you a little bit more reassured that the Cubs were the team that found Jimenez and then traded him to the White Sox, because the Cubs have certainly had much more success finding position players than the White Sox have. The Cubs have had pretty much more success finding great position players than almost anybody under this Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer, Jason McLeod regime, but I think with Jimenez, not only do you have a guy who's going to be marketable, who's going to be now here with the team for at least 6 seasons, and you've got a reason to go out there and go to the park now. And I think that's a big part of it as well. 312-644-6767. Don't want to keep Jim waiting too much longer. He's holding in Dyer, Indiana. Morning, Jim. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Grob? It's kind of weird hearing you on a Sunday. But a quick question now. What do you think about the three technique, my guy?
Well, it's kind of one of these newer situations.
He called to talk Sox and then
See, this is how it begins. This is how bits start on the station, Eli. When people say I sound like the Grobber, and I acknowledge that on the station, we're going to get calls like that. He held for 8 minutes to get that in. That's good for him, I guess.
So much for that.
So much for that. Well, we'll see. In addition to Jimenez, who, you know, like I said, is going to be the marketable guy, is probably already the best hitter in their lineup. If you look at it, 1 through 9, the White Sox have one of the worst outfields in all of Major League Baseball. But I think that you'll probably now, you slot in Jimenez into left field, Adam Engel and John Jay likely to platoon in center. And then over at right field, you'll probably see a little bit of Daniel Polka as well, who, you know, was a guy who he came up last season kind of out of nowhere, hit a lot of home runs, a lot of clutch hits as well. You know, pinch hitting, Polka was great, but, you know, his age with his skill set, I don't know how much to really expect from him. He's a fun player, and really how he's kind of conducted himself on social media, interacting with fans and everything like that. He's done everything right, but there's only so much you can really hope for in terms of a guy like Daniel Polka. But I expect Tim Anderson to have a pretty solid season last year. You know, if you only watched the White Sox in April or May last season, which I'm sure a lot of people did, even if you only were able to put up with it up to that point in 2018, Tim Anderson is a guy who I think has an unfair reputation for his defense. I think he did struggle a little bit early in the season last year. There's no doubt about that. And the error numbers were pretty high by the end of it. But for one, you can't just judge a player's defensive capabilities just by errors. You know, just inherently by playing shortstop, you're going to have many more balls hit to you. You're going to have many more opportunities for to commit errors. And I don't think that's really an accurate way to judge somebody, especially with a guy like Anderson, who doesn't get hurt very much. He's out there almost every day. When you look at his defensive stats throughout the rest of the season, more so in, you know, June, July, August, September, he actually shorted up and played a great shortstop throughout the closing bit of the season. And I think offensively, there's definitely another level for Tim Anderson there. One huge key for the Sox in 2019, I think, will be Yoan Moncada. He was a guy who, you know, obviously came over in the Chris Sale deal. He and Michael Kopech, the two headliners there. And last season, Moncada, his first full season in the majors, was uneven, to say the least. A lot of people extremely down on Yoan Moncada, a lot of people writing him off already. I think that's pretty unfair, and I think it's a little, you know, you're jumping the gun a little bit if you're going to write off Yoan Moncada. Of course, we've all heard, yes, he's 23, he's this young, and blah, 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 and I don't want to get into that too much, but with the caveat that it is only spring training, Yoan Moncada was absolutely huge in spring training this year. He slashed 356 with a 482 on base and a 689 slugging percentage. And like I said, there is a caveat there that it's just spring training. But if you look at his opposing pitcher quality, which is a new stat that they've, I don't want to call it a new stat, but it's something that's been a little bit more prevalent within the past few years, and in a better way to kind of gauge the talent that guys are facing in spring training. The pitcher quality rating that he has faced this spring was 8.1. So that is above a minor league level. That's just right about the level of a lower grade major leaguer or a really high AAA prospect. So he's been facing pretty good pitching, you know, relative to a lot of the other guys in spring training. You love to see that 482 on base. I don't know how sustainable the 689 slugging will be. That would be some sort of a tremendous record if Moncada was able to duplicate that. But you'd rather see a guy, you know, crush the ball in spring training rather than do absolutely nothing with it. And another big thing about Moncada last season was, you know, people went crazy about all the strikeouts that he had. And I don't put as much stock into it as a lot of people. Yes, striking out 33% of the time is awful. I'm not going to say that it's good, because it's not. There's no possible way to justify that. But he only struck out 14 times in spring training over 17 games. So everything trending in the right direction with Moncada. And I think maybe the addition of Eloy into the lineup every day now, I assume they'll be hitting within each other at some point throughout the rest of the season. I think adding another one of these really highly touted prospect and a guy who everybody just comes in and expects to hit right away, I think that's going to have a good effect on Moncada as well. You know, you can make your own decision on how much stock you put into protection in the lineup. I know some people don't really think that that's a thing at all. I disagree with that entirely. I think the more good hitters you have in your lineup, the better effect it's going to have on everybody. I mean, you take a look at the Cubs last season. When it goes wrong for a couple guys, that starts to dovetail a little bit. And then by the last 2 months of last year, the Cubs couldn't put anything together. And Theo Epstein even came out later in the season and say that the offense was broke. So, you know, one guy can definitely jolt another guy, and then the kind of momentum gets going, and that's how you start to establish things. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Let's go out to Morton Grove, talk to John. Morning, John, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? I was wondering, how long do you think Lewis Robert's going to be before he gets up?
Well, they're starting him in single A, so I don't think you're going to see him at all this season. If he really, you know, plays well and fast-tracks himself with good play, you might be able to see him in Birmingham after a couple months, and then he'll probably stay there for a while. But I don't think you'll see Louis Robert in the majors until 2020.
Who's the next prospect you think will be up?
It's a good question, and thanks for the call, John, out in Morton Grove. You know, it depends on a lot of things. It depends on injuries. It depends on, you know, who's been, you know, outgrowing their expectations in the minor leagues. It could very well be Dylan Cease. He was the minor league pitcher of the year for the Sox last season. Of course, he also came over in that Jose Quintana trade along with Eloy Jimenez. And Dylan Cease is a guy who, if he is able to avoid injury, that's kind of been one of his bugaboos for the last couple of years. Last season, he managed to stay healthy throughout the entire 28 campaign in the minor leagues, and that was a huge step for him. Set a career high in innings pitched last season. Of course, you're going to want to build on that. I think he was only at about 124, 125 innings last season, which, like I said, is not, you know, workhorse level quite yet, but it was a career high, and you have to take steps like that. So I think Dylan Cease is absolutely somebody you could definitely see in the major leagues in 2018 for the White Sox. But as I said about Louis Robert, starting him out in single A means that they are going to treat him, I don't want to say with kid gloves. I don't think that's really the right way to put it. He's a guy who's been, you know, banged up injury-wise a lot himself, and to bring him along slowly is really the best way to go about it. I mean, he's still, what, 20, 21 years old. There's no rush to get him up here as of now. But I think that, you know, you will see him eventually. And if he is able to stay healthy, you'll definitely see him as soon as 2020. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here. If you'd like to chime in on the White Sox or the Cubs as well. I want to get into the Cubs a little bit after a timeout here. We're going to talk a little bit about Ian Happ, his demotion to the minors, which came as a little bit of a shock. I know Twitter has been in mostly college basketball mode for the past few days, but one little Cub ripple was able to create waves yesterday, and it was Ian Happ. We're going to hear from Joe Maddon, I believe, after a quick timeout here. Is this correct, Eli?
Is correct, sir.
Thank you very much. We've got Joe Maddon on Eli Happ coming up, and we're going to switch the conversation a little bit.
Eli Happ?
Did I say Eli Happ?
You did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
What is wrong with me today? 312-644-6767. That's still the phone number, right, at least, right?
Yes.
Ian Happ, minor leaguer. My name's Kevin Zipek. I'm here until 9, probably. Cubs talk next, 670 The Score.
Was there too much made about the coaching staff and the manager because of last year's late-in-the-season struggles offensively?
How many games did we win last year? 94, 95?
Yes.
Welcome back on into 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. On the way in there, you heard the voices of Dan McNeil, afternoon host here at The Score, and you also heard the voice, the second voice you heard there, was Iowa Cub Ian Happ. He was optioned to AAA yesterday, came as a little bit of a surprise. Like I said, mostly college basketball has been dominating the Twitter timeline over the past several days, but the Cubs broke in there. I believe Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic was the first one to have it. that Ian Happ has, in fact, been optioned to AAA. He'll start the season with the Iowa Cubs and not the Chicago Cubs. My name is Kevin Zipak. I'm here until 9 o'clock this morning, taking you up to Nick Shepkowski and Mark Grody, who will be here this afternoon. Shep has arrived in the building. Apparently, he has forgotten his ID, though, so Eli's going to have to go down and grab him very shortly. But before we do that, regarding Ian Happ, he was apparently not taking this news very well. And Ian Happ didn't have a great season in 2018, you know, just hitting 233 with an on-base of 353, or excuse me, no, that's accurate, 233 average, 253 on-base. So he was getting on-base enough, but just the 15 home runs, a lot of strikeouts from Happ, he didn't really blossom into the player in his second full year that I think a lot of people envision. I mean, even Joe Maddon himself had him in the starting lineup leading off last year, opening day against Miami, where he hit that home run. And me, I thought he was primed for a huge season. Didn't quite pan out that way. And he was brutal in spring training this year as well. Probably contributed to this decision to start him in AAA. And he did not take the news very well.
We just talked to Ian Happ. We're going to send Ian back to AAA. We just want to make sure that he gets down there and really gets a lot of consistent at-bats, especially from the left side. Obviously, we consider him a huge part of our future. But just based on the conclusion of last year, what we're seeing at this point this year, we think it's really important that would happen that way. Coming to us on a major league level right now with our platooning the way we do it, we thought he would not have enough time to work on the adjustments that he's been working at so diligently this offseason and this spring training.
That is the voice there of Cubs skipper Joe Maddon talking about Ian Happ being optioned to the minor leagues. Happ this spring, 135 batting average with a 196 on base, slugging just 192. That's over 56 plate appearances. So obviously spring training is spring training, and it doesn't mean a ton. But I think when you're with a team like the Cubs, who obviously have a ton of talent up and down their roster, it's always going to be, you know, a competition to fill out these last few spots on the roster. The fact that Happ did have a really disappointing 2018, I mean, relatively disappointing when you look at the power numbers, you'd expect him to certainly hit more than 15 home runs and slug a little bit higher than 408, but he did hit just 202 against lefties and struck out a ton last season. So he kind of developed into a guy you could only play against right-handed pitching last season. With Joe Maddon, his love for versatility and, you know, mixing guys in and out of the lineups, different spots, different positions. Happ not exactly the best defensive player either. If you delve a little bit more deep into it, it shouldn't be a huge surprise. Now, what I think will be interesting coming out of this is, you know, who gets this last spot on the roster now, who will be up on opening day besides Ian Happ. We didn't think that there would be any big surprises coming out of Cubs camp, but now is it going to be Mark Zagunas on the opening day roster here? You know, he's not a guy that's going to start a lot of games, obviously, but I just think it's very surprising. Now, John Lester also had some things to say about Ian Happ, and Lester is definitely one of the veterans on this team, and he basically just said that, you know, Happ's a young guy, we're going for a World Series, you know, we can't afford to be sentimental or afford to treat guys with kid gloves. And I think coming from John Lester, that really, it means more than you might think from somebody else. John Lester has done it all, frankly, in Major League Baseball. He's won multiple championships. He's a guy that goes out and rarely gets injured. He's the team leader here on the Cubs, and it's definitely somebody that whose opinion you respect more than almost anybody else. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here if you want to jump in on this Cubs conversation. We're going to talk to Jordan Bastian of MLB.com in about 5 minutes. But I really am interested, of course, in the Cubs, you know, being here in Chicago, and they are still technically in their championship window. It's the phrase we always like to throw around now. It's what's the window? When does the window open? When does the window close? The Cubs are still in their window, but the rest of the National League Central, to me, has gotten better over this offseason. When you look at Milwaukee, and they're the defending champions, they bring in Yasmani Grandal to play catcher. He's one of the best, you know, five catchers in baseball, certainly offensively. They're still linked with Craig Kimbrell. He is out there. He's one of the best closers of all time. If you add him to the Milwaukee bullpen, you're kind of adding strength to what was already one of their strengths last season. So they're the defending champs. They've made one big move so far, and they're close to making another. You have to look at them as probably the favorite again. St. Louis has brought in Paul Goldschmidt this offseason, one of the best right-handed hitters in all of baseball over the past decade or so. A lot of people maybe haven't seen Goldschmidt a ton because he did play in Arizona for so long, but I remember every time he's played the Cubs over the past few seasons, he's pretty much raked entirely against Chicago. You add him to a St. Louis Cardinals lineup, that's going to be huge for them. They also added Andrew Miller into their bullpen, who isn't exactly the same Andrew Miller as he was maybe 3-4 years ago, but still one of the best left-handed relievers in the game. Cincinnati is totally reworked their roster going into this season. They actually have some major league pitching there for the first time in a while, and adding players like Yasiel Puig as well and Matt Kemp offensively is going to do them wonders. I think the Cubs are going to be in it for the entire season. They're going to be in the race for the National League Central. I don't buy into Pecota, you know, envisioning them as a 79-win team as much as maybe some people would have you believe, or maybe some people would think that I would believe that, because like I said, I've been pigeonholed into being called a Cub hater from time to time. But I think the Cubs are going to be right there in the race for the National League Central all season long. I don't think they're going to finish in last place. I don't think that they're going to finish under 500 for the season. Now, you take a look at their pitching staff, and it's older than a lot of teams. The velocity isn't there. 1-5 for the Cubs pitching staff, as you see on a lot of different rosters within the division itself. But until I see a dramatic, to make up a word there, as Coach Joel Quenneville and Mike Mulligan like to use as well, unless you see a dramatic downfall, you know, a precipitous downfall in the first month of the season from veterans like Lester, like Hamels, if Darvish gets, you know, injured again and he's not going to be available, if Quintana can't bounce back from a mediocre 2018, you could see this thing go really bad in a while, but until in a short while. But until I actually see it, I think it's more of a rumor than anything. And that's why I think the Cubs, like I said, are going to be in the race in the National League Central all season long. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here. 67011 is how you text in if you've got any thoughts on the Cubs. If you'd like to chime in here before we get to Jordan Bastian in a couple minutes. 773 texter here regarding Ian Happ. If he played a full season, we'd see 30 homers and a .350 on-base percentage. The on-base percentage was around .350 last season, so I might be with you there, but you know, I don't think that he is a 30 home run guy quite yet, and I think that's one of the reasons you'd like to see him, or at least that the Cubs clearly want to see him down in AAA Iowa for at least the beginning of the season, so maybe he can start to play every day and really kind of grow into that player who they did take in the first round a few years ago, that he came up instantly and started to hit the ball really well. He showed a little bit of versatility defensively, but you know, he had the opportunity last season. He was the starting leadoff man on the 2018 team, and hell, he hit a home run in the very first at bat of the season. I think that he was given the opportunity last season and he failed to grasp that. Like I said, when you're on a roster like the Cubs have with so much depth and so much talent, you know, if you really just slip up just a little bit, there's going to be a huge margin for error here. Excuse me, a small margin for error when you're on a competitive roster. Let's go out to the hotline now and bring in Jordan Bastian. He covers the team for MLB.com, and we're going to talk a little bit about the pitching staff, about the bullpen, and about Ian Happ especially. Good morning, Jordan. What's going on, man? How are you?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great. Appreciate you waking up a little bit early here on a Sunday to hop on the program. And welcome back to Chicago, by the way, your first year back here covering the Cubs. How does it feel to be maybe in your own element a little bit?
Yeah, it'll feel good once I'm actually moved there. no, it's going to be great.
Still working on it.
Yeah, still it's going to be a move throughout the season. There are a lot of moving parts, but once it's all the dust settles, it's going to be great. That's where I grew up. where my wife grew up. Awesome to be back home for sure.
Yeah, congratulations on the move once again. Let's get right into it here. Yesterday, the news came out that Ian Happ optioned to AAA. He will not be starting the season with the Major League Cubs. He'll be an Iowa Cub for the time being. Two-part question. How surprised were you to see that, and how long do you think he's going to be down there?
Yeah, I think we all were surprised. I think when we asked just sort of that generic, hey, did you make any moves today? You know, we had heard some rumblings that Tozawa had been released, you know, that Alec Mills had been optioned. We were kind of looking to get some confirmation on some of those. And, you know, Joe came right out and said, yeah, we just talked to Ian Happ. But I think we all were like, oh, okay, here we go. You know, so I think we were surprised. Joe Maddon expressed that Ian Happ was surprised and not happy about it. And, you know, I don't think you would really expect him to be happy to get that news, you know, right at the end of camp when, you know, it wasn't really expected when, you know, we all kind of thought he was going to be mixed and matched between center field, maybe at second base, you know, and kind of be one of those puzzle pieces along with, you know, a lot of the other guys that are moving around the diamond and being matched up and things like that. But, you know, along the lines of the messaging that we've heard all off season, all spring, they're preaching urgency, they're preaching results, you know, and I think this sort of is a great example of the team backing that up with a move, saying, you know, we need results. You know, Ian Happ struck out over 36% of the time last year. Mm-hmm. You know, he struggled this spring, and, you know, I think they saw an opportunity to kind of send him down and say, hey, you know, you're not the finished product. We need you to work on some very specific things and have results. And when those results fall in line and the opportunity arises at the big leagues, that's when you come up. I don't think there's a, you know, Joe emphasized there's no finish line here. You don't say, here's when we're aiming to have you back in the big leagues. It's, you know, let's see what happens. If there might be an injury, there might be a performance at the big leagues that warrants it. But it's also got to be paired with results in AAA, especially from the left side of the plate, as Maddon emphasized, from Ian Happ. So I think there's some specific goals they've given him, and they want to see some progress there. And again, I think the move kind of backs up this message of sense of urgency and that results matter more than anything else right now.
Yeah, spring training stats are kind of one of those funny things. When people want them to matter, they'll matter. And when people don't want them to matter, oh, it's just spring, it doesn't matter. But Happ slashes 135, 196, 192, over 56 plate appearances in spring training. And this may be kind of a silly question, but if, you know, he was getting on base at a 350 clip, do you think that he would actually be starting the season in the majors? Do you think that how bad he was in the spring really was the final straw?
Yeah, it's not necessarily, kind of as you mentioned, it's not just the slash line. It's not, oh, you hit 130 this spring,
right,
going to AAA. It's what was going on within some of those at-bats. It's the swings and misses that not necessarily resulted in a strikeout, but maybe resulted in a bad swing on a specific type of pitch from the left side of the plate in the middle of a bat. You know what I mean? Like, they're looking at all those little things, and, you know, there were signs. There were times where he would go the other way. You know, I specifically can see an extra base that he had to left center at one point this spring, and I thought, oh, wow, that was a really good swing from the left side. He went the other way, got extra bases out of it. But there were other times in at-bats where you just saw those same just kind of flails, you know, on pitches, and I think obviously they're seeing the same things, and I think it was important that Maddon also noted that this was a unanimous decision within the room. You know, it wasn't just Maddon, wasn't just Theo. You know, this was the group saying, no, you know what, the best move right now is to have him to go down and fine-tune some of these things. And it, rather than be in the big leagues where he's, you know, the way they platoon, he's not going to be getting regular everyday playing time.
Yeah.
And when you're asking a guy to tighten up a part of his game, it's really hard to do that in a sporadic playing time situation.
Talking to Jordan Bastian here on the show right now. You can follow him on Twitter at MLBastian. He covers the Cubs for MLB.com. So one more question regarding Happ here till we move along. Who gets this final outfielder spot now? Because if you're just going by, you know, what guys can provide from you in terms of versatility, you know, it looks like it's probably going to be an outfielder. But I think with this organization, I've kind of found out you never know how they're going to fill a particular spot. Is there anybody that you envision getting this last spot? Is there a competition, guys that have kind of maybe proven themselves a little bit? Where do you think that ends up?
Well, I mean, the other moves they made yesterday, they reassigned Adames to minor league camp, and Adames had really impressed this spring as a utility guy. And by doing that move and some of the other moves they made, they whittled the position player, you know, Addison Russell aside, they whittled the position player group for opening day down to 12 guys. And the last guy is Mark Zagunas, who's really impressed this spring and had some nice at-bats and stuff like that. But there was also kind of an emphasis from Joe and from other people around camp that, yes, that those are the 12 right there, and Zagunas is in that last spot right now, but the team is looking at other options. So they're still looking externally. You know, this is the time in camp where all around the game you're seeing some bubble guys get cut, guys hit the waiver wire, maybe guys become available via trade, things like that. I think the Cubs are looking at those possibilities right now, but as we sit here today, Mark Zagunas looks like he's in that last spot.
Very interesting. He's a guy who, you know, has shown a little bit in the majors. He's kind of been up and down a little bit. He's a little bit older now. We're all a little bit older now, aren't we? But he's not exactly in that, you know, prospect range anymore. He's kind of been a guy who's bounced around a little bit. Do you think that Zagunas, if it is the guy, has maybe another level that he can get to with some consistent playing time? Or do you think he's just, you know, the 25th man on this roster, right place, right time?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at a 25th man situation. But to your point, you know, if you kind of dissect his season last year towards the last 2 months, he started to show a little uptick in slugging. I mean, I think his slugging overall was under 400, but you saw an improvement over the last couple weeks of the season, and he's kind of carried that over into the spring and has had a nice spring and impressing people around camp. But again, I mean, when you're looking at the makeup of the big league roster, I mean, this is really a 25th spot because you've got Elmora, who fans obviously want to see play more than he has. You know, maybe Hayward can mix and match with him in center if he's not in right. You've got three guys who could play second base between Zobrist, Descalso, and David Bodie. You know, you've got Bodie who can bounce all over the place, spell Chris Bryant at third if Bryant wants to go to left field against the left-hander. I mean, there's still all those moving parts where, yeah, Ian Happ's not a part of it, but you've still got all these guys you can move around, especially with the addition of Daniel Descalso. So I think Joe's still going to have a lot of things to do. And, you know, when you're talking about if Mark Zagunas is part of that opening day picture, you know, he'll be mixed and matched when it makes sense, but I don't think he's going to be a huge part, focal point of the offense or anything.
Talking to Jordan Bastian now, he covers the Cubs for MLB.com. Let's take a look at a few more of the established guys, a few of the guys with World Series rings on their fingers. Out of you know, guys that were perceived to be disappointments last season for various reasons, whether it was injury or what have you, between Chris Bryant, Kyle Schwarber, and Wilson Contreras, who do you think will bounce back the most from a disappointing year, and who do you think is the most important out of that group?
Well, the easy answer is Chris Bryant. I mean, because the offense took on such a different look last year when he was hurt, or when he was not out of the lineup, obviously, and when he was in the lineup and not himself. And I think what we've seen this spring and everything he's saying, you know, he looks like he's got his old swing. The power's there. He's comfortable. He's confident. You know, he's walking around like a guy who's ready to just attack baseballs this spring, and that's great. That's what the guy they need, because he changes the look of that offense immediately. I think he's the most critical point to that offense. So that's the easy answer. But kind of to what you're saying, the other guys are no less important. Kyle Schwarber is, you know, gone back to more of a crouch stance. You know, he believes that he can be better than he has been over the last couple of years. Wilson Contreras has kind of tidied up some things with his mechanics. He's had a good spring in the at-bats that we've seen. And maybe more importantly, on the defensive side, he's been working on some kind of setup adjustments with his positioning behind the plate to try and tighten up a little bit with the pitch framing, or pitch presentation, as people like to call it. And that would be huge, because this pitching staff is getting a little older, especially on the rotation side. And, you know, you're going to need to get those little percentage points that you can, especially from your catcher, when you can hone up that part of the game. And last year, Contreras ranked at the very bottom of baseball in pitch framing. So if he can even sort of become league average in that regard and pair that with his offense, I mean, that's where he becomes a star caliber type player at his position. So all three of those guys you mentioned, very key in terms of who's most important and who can have the biggest jump over last year. I think Bryant's the guy.
You know, I agree with you. I think he's the biggest game changer, and we've seen him, you know, be one of these top 3 to 5 players in all of baseball when he is right. So I would agree with you there. In regards to Contreras, though, I think he might actually be the one I'm most interested in from a different level. I mean, he was a dark horse MVP candidate coming into last season. He was setting the world on fire before his hamstring injury a couple years ago. And then, as you just kind of broke it down, last season he struggled in a couple different ways. Theo Epstein has talked a lot about his mechanics and getting him right just from a technical standpoint. But Contreras, in a conversation he had with NBC Sports Chicago a couple weeks ago, and basically admitted to being very complacent and not working as hard last season. Has anybody in the organization talked to him about his effort level, his conditioning, anything like that? Or is it more just based on technical, mechanical issues with him?
I think this spring the focus has been on the technical side. For him to come out and say the things that he has, you know, that's what you want to hear. You know, for a guy to come out and say, hey, here are things that I identified. Again, going back to what we talked about at the beginning, this messaging of sense of urgency, the looking yourself in the mirror, you know, after the way the season ended, the hard conversations that they had from the front office to the coaches, to the players, you know, all with each other. I think what he's saying right there, what you're hearing from Contreras, falls right in line with all of that. That say, you know what, I looked at my season and I realized I had, you know, other things on my mind, or I got caught up in my own personal failure. I got complacent. You know, all those things when we're hearing those types of things around camp this spring, it all falls in line with the accountability that they're trying to preach and attacking that this spring and being, you know, having that heightened awareness of those types of behind the scenes things that maybe potentially got away from the club down the stretch last year. You know, the big thing we've heard is, you know what, maybe we needed to get punched in the mouth. You know, maybe this was a team that, because of all the success they experienced as young players, you kind of just felt like the inevitability of success. You know, we've heard Cole Hamels and John Lester talk about, you know, the young players in that room almost didn't know what it was like to really fail. And, you know, maybe they needed that wake-up call, you know, down the stretch. And I think what you're mentioning there from Contreras and what we're hearing is kind of falls along with that, that, hey, this is something I identified, this is something I fixed. And then this spring, the focus is more on the technical stuff to tighten up the stance, you know, get back to the hitting that we know everyone knows he can do, and to get better defensively behind the plate, because that was a huge drop-off last year and it impacted the pitching staff, and they don't want to see that again.
Couple more minutes here with Jordan Bastian of MLB.com. Got to ask you about the bullpen, because I think that there's a lot of depth in the Cubs bullpen going into this season, but some huge question marks as well. We don't really know when Brandon Morrow is going to get back. They say a month.
Right.
I'm skeptical of that. Pedro Strop has the hamstring issue. Carl Edwards Jr., very uneven last season. Where do you think this bullpen shakes out in terms of the first month or so of the season when Morrow isn't there? Do you think they'll kind of mix and match in terms of matchups to close out games? Do you think Strop has a stranglehold on that job if he's there, if the hamstring is all good? And who do you think could be maybe more under-the-radar guy in the bullpen that shows up to be an important late-game piece?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of mixing matching for the first month. I mean, Madden, which has been his MO, he won't name a guy a closer. And I think there's just that idea that if you say Pedro Strop is the closer and then you use him in the eighth inning, everyone's going, well, why'd you use him in the eighth inning if he's your closer? And it's like he just doesn't want to have the phrasing that pigeonholes him into holding on to a guy if it makes the most sense to use him. You know, if the meat of the lineup's up in the eighth and the game's on the line, you want your best guy in that situation. And I like that approach, and I think that's why you won't hear him declare a guy a closer. But that being said, Pedro Strop is the most obvious endpoint to start the season. Every manager likes that endpoint that they can work backwards from. But if you get in a situation, you still want to have that flexibility to say, you know what, it makes the most sense to use him here. So I think that's the way they're going to approach it. I think they're comfortable with some of the other options that they have for the ninth if that type of situation arises. Guys like Cishek and, Kinsler has closing experience, you know, if it's a situation where you need a ground ball in the ninth or something like that. And they brought in Brad Brock, who's Belo's been a little down, but he's telling us this is what happens every spring with me, and this is another guy that has some closing experience. You know, they're going to be able to try and mix and match and hopefully patch it together until you mentioned, like, when Brandon Morrow gets back, and then he can assume that closer's role. Brandon Morrow, I mean, from everything we've seen, he's gone through his throwing program fine. He's got been off a mound a couple times now, and that sort of signified the start of his spring training. And as a relief pitcher, as long as there's no setbacks, you know, that does put him on target for about a month, because he got on the mound almost exactly a month behind when he normally would have. So you project, okay, that's probably about a month into the season. But you're right, you know, fingers crossed on that. This is a guy whose whole career has been riddled with a variety of health issues. So, you know, I think that's where things stand at the back end of the bullpen right now. The guy I'm really intrigued by, you mentioned him, Carl Edwards Jr. We've seen him have a great spring. He tweaked his delivery, put in this little hesitation move that we've seen Kenley Jansen use on occasion, said he studied Jansen a lot. We've seen a lot better strike throwing ability, you know, staying in the zone, not a lot of walks this spring. We've seen him test it out with runners on, without runners on, different situations. He's kind of varied the looks in his delivery, and he's continued to throw strikes with it. So that's been a really positive thing that's come out of camp. Now you're getting to the games that count, and you're getting to the situations that count, and there's as much mental component of a change like that as there is a physical one. When you're in practice mode, maybe it's easier to do it. When you get into compete mode in the season, we'll see if it carries over. That's going to be really interesting to watch, because I've really liked what we've seen from him. I mean, I'm coming in watching some of these guys on a daily basis for the first time, and the Edwards I've seen this spring, it looks pretty exciting. So I think if there's a guy that Cubs fans have been waiting to realize his potential, maybe he's done something that can help him take the step in that regard this year.
Jordan Bastian, you cover the Cubs for MLB.com. People can follow you on Twitter at MLBastian. And like I said, it's your first year back here in Chicago, so hopefully we'll get the word out there and we'll get you some more of these Cub fans following you so they can criticize everything that you tweet after games.
Exactly.
All right, thanks for your time this morning, man.
Yep, used to that from my time in Cleveland.
Oh, I'm sure it's the same story everywhere. Thanks a lot for getting up. Appreciate your time, man. That is Jordan Bastian of MLB.com. You can follow him on Twitter, like I said, at MLBastian. My name is Kevin Zipak. I'm here for a little bit longer till 9 o'clock. We've got Nick Shepkowski and Mark Grody in the building. I don't know if they're coming in here right now quite yet or if there's a break. You can just speak into the microphone. I don't understand your sign
language. Shep's got a surprise for you. That's all I'm going to say. I'm gonna keep you off guard, but I'm going to give you a little hint, too.
Okay, I think I know what that is. But are we going to take a break here before transition? All right, let's just do that here. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. You can chime in, get in on the Cubs talk, the White Sox talk, tournament talk with Shep and Grody. They're up right after me here on 670 The Score. Welcome back on in to 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name's Kevin Zipak. Getting ready for a little transition coming up next with Mark Grody and Nick Shepkowski. During the break, Shep came in here. I thought we were going to, you know, talk a little bit about what they're doing on the show. I thought maybe we're going to have a friendly chat. And instead, he just did his best Nolan and Ryan impression and whipped some lemons at me from a very close distance. I don't appreciate that at all. I think it was unwarranted. I don't know why you did it, but I will be filing a complaint with HR. The phone number is 312-644-6767. Before transition, I want to thank a couple folks today for their contributions to the program. Thank you very much to Eli Hershkovich, who not only has produced and booked the show as per usual, but he also helped me out in the first hour of the program talking about the NCAA tournament up to this point. Eli is our college basketball guru here at the station, and he's been all over the place, not sleeping very much on several different shows on the station over the last week. So thank you very much to Eli. Thank you to Jordan Bastian of MLB.com, his first year back in the city, covering the Chicago Cubs. So if you want to give him a follow, he's at ML Bastian on Twitter. Pretty easy to find there. And of course, most importantly, thanks to everybody who called, texted, tweeted, and of course listened. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you were here with me. And I appreciate that. Just to close the loop a little bit on this whole Ian Happ thing and the fact that he somewhat surprisingly has been sent down to the minors. And I will, of course, I'll ask Shep and Grody about this as well. Grody knows Ian Happ, covered Ian Happ. Shep is a huge baseball fan as well and a big Cubs fan. I want to see where they are in terms of this demotion. Somewhat similarly, a couple years ago, Kyle Schwarber was optioned to AAA, but I think that was in June when Schwarber went down to the minors a couple years back. So it's a little bit of a different scenario in terms of timing this year with Happ's demotion coming, you know, in spring training, not even breaking camp with the major league team, whereas you saw him leading off starting for the team last season. I think that's where the shock is, because after a while with some of these guys, even though if they do go through certain struggles from time to time, once a guy has been up in the major leagues for a while and on the major league roster for a certain period of time, you just kind of assume that they're going to maintain that spot. And even if a guy struggles a little bit, that he's going to get the benefit of the doubt for having been established on the major league roster for a certain period of time. But I think it goes back to something that Jordan Bastian said when I talked to him around 8:30. I think that speaks a little bit to the urgency that the Cubs are coming into the 2019 season with this year, and the fact that they're all kind of on high alert. They don't want another fiasco like last season, and it's hard to call it a fiasco when you did win 95 games. You technically did make it into the playoffs, even though you didn't win a playoff game. You were there, and you did win 95 games, but Theo Epstein said it all throughout the offseason. We need more urgency, and I think this is very indicative of that strategy. Now, it remains to be seen who will get the last spot on the major league roster, whether it's a guy who will start a lot, whether it's a guy who will just be a pinch hitter, late inning replacement. I'm not sure really where Mark Zagunas or whomever gets this last spot will end up on the 25-man, but it's definitely something you look at, and I think the urgency is what sticks out to me most about it. I don't know if you would have seen this move from the Cubs, you know, this year or perhaps even in 2017. All right, after a quick timeout here, we are going to bring in Mark Grody and Nick Shepkowski. They are on from 9 to noon today, I believe. And Eli, you're going to be joining them as well today?
Yeah, sorry to do that to you, Kevin. You bring me on, then I'm just going to jump on the other one as well. I know that disappoints you.
I thought we had something special here. I thought we had a...
Every Sunday morning we have something special, but then you leave me, I get ticked off, and I say, you know, anybody want me? Because Kevin clearly doesn't.
All right, we'll be right back here with Nick Shepkowski, Mark Grody. My name is Kevin Zipek on 670 The Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.